it helps to see some of the day-to-day blood sugars that you have and help you understand how your diet and your activity affect that.
Diabetes affects more than 3 million people in Canada. Yet myths about the disease seem to be everywhere.
We cannot eat sugar. It was never going to be healthy ever again.
Did we feed him too much sugar cereal when he was growing up?
I'm not who I was. I'm not still Steve now.
When I was diagnosed, I thought insulin made me sicker.
I just remember going, wow, this is the rest of my life. This sucks. I was upset. I was like, who screwed me over? And then you realize you screwed yourself over.
But are these long-held beliefs really true? Join us as we clear up the myths surrounding diabetes and discuss treatments that help to achieve good diabetes control.
Welcome one and all. Welcome to The Comedy Show. My name's Joey Elias. And again, we welcome everybody listening here in Montreal, CJD 800. This is what we do. We play some of the finest comics from around the world. Tonight, though, we're going to keep it local.
Joey Elias was born and raised in Montreal.
Life gets tougher, Joey.
As a child, Joey says he was the class clown. He got his first chance as a comedian when he lost a bet with a friend and had to go on stage to deliver material he'd been writing.
Oh, the tales I can tell.
I loved comedy as a kid. The big treat was I got to sleep over at my grandparents Friday nights, and my grandparents would stay up and watch Johnny Carson, and I would tuck myself in closest to the bed. I would sleep on the floor, and I you know, they thought I was asleep, and I just remember watching, thinking, this is really cool. I keep doing comedy because it's the greatest job in the world. You think about it. I mean, you work an hour a day. How much fun is that? You know? I mean, if I found a job that suited me and my energy level, this is it. You know? I get to say what I want and how I want to say it. And in any other job, really, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble for that.
During the first 13 years of his career, Joey spent his downtime at comedy clubs, enjoying rich foods with his friends and partying. He lived life in the fast lane.
I went 13 years of living the lifestyle of a gentleman who works late. So our days are backwards. So you finish a show and you know, what are you going to do? The adrenaline's pumping. You go for a couple of drinks. A couple of drinks leads to late night eats. If you were on the road, it was 4 days of pizza and chicken fingers. It was tasty. You know, you're not getting a lot of salad at 3:30 in the morning at the diner.
One morning, as Joey prepared his comedy routine, he began to experience unusual sensations.
I did have pins and needles in the face. So when I woke up that morning and I thought, okay, and you think to yourself, did I just have a stroke? You know? And I remember standing in front of the mirror, kind of going okay, everything's functioning, then why does it feel that way? And that was the morning I called my doctor. I'm like, hey, listen, I have diabetes. And he's like, listen, I'm sure you're overreacting because so many people call me every day with, I have this. And he says, don't diagnose yourself until I diagnose you. And I went, okay, but I'm telling you, I have diabetes.
After undergoing tests, it was confirmed that Joey did have diabetes. Dr. Alice Chang explains.
There are two types of diabetes. There's type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. The majority of people have type 2 diabetes.
During digestion, food is broken down into sugar or glucose and enters the bloodstream. As glucose levels in the bloodstream rise, the pancreas responds by producing the hormone insulin. Insulin acts as a key that opens up receptors in the body's cells that allow glucose to enter and be used as energy. In people with type 1 diabetes, the body doesn't produce enough insulin to allow glucose to enter the cells. So glucose builds up in the bloodstream. In people with type 2 diabetes, the body is resistant to the action of insulin. It takes extra insulin to overcome this problem, and the body is unable to produce enough. Without enough insulin, glucose builds up in the bloodstream, commonly referred to as high blood sugar. Rob Roscoe works as a pharmacist and certified diabetes educator.
This sort of represents their blood vessels. And as you can see on the top one, things are flowing pretty freely when somebody has a normal blood sugar. But when your blood sugars are running high, everything slows down a little bit. And because it slows down, it makes it harder for the oxygen to get to the tissues. It makes it harder for the blood actually to get to where it needs to go. And when you're not getting good blood flow to your extremities, and that's when you start developing foot ulcers and feeling issues in terms of prickliness or burning to the feet. Also, it makes the heart have to work harder to get oxygen. It also makes it more difficult for your kidneys to get good blood flow.
There are several treatment options available for diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is always treated with insulin. Type 2 diabetes is managed through physical activity and healthy eating through meal planning and medications, and insulin may be required to assist the body in controlling blood glucose more effectively. Registered nurse and certified diabetes educator Lori Berard often advises patients on various treatments.
We have a couple of new tools in the toolbox. So we have DPP-4 inhibitors, which allow the naturally occurring GLP-1 to work longer, and GLP-1 increases insulin secretion. Then we also have drugs that replace GLP-1, so they help insulin secretion to be more natural and more robust in the body. And then we have insulin. Everybody's diabetes is different, so their need for more medication will be very different. Some will need more medication in a year, some will be on one medication for 10 years.
Like many people with diabetes, Joey also puts much of the blame for his condition on himself. But family history is a factor that can't be controlled.
The history of diabetes in my family is mostly on my mother's side. And I didn't really know how many people had it until, you know, I got older. Because you just knew, like, I didn't know, like, watching as a child my grandfather, I didn't know what he took needles for, you know. He's just like, oh, I got to take these, and I was squeamish, so I never watched him stick a needle into his arm, you know.
Dr. Maureen Clement sees many patients like Joey in her practice.
One of the first myths is self-blame. Oh, it's all their fault, and that's why they have diabetes. I like to have them understand that it's largely genetic, that environment certainly influences it, and they can lower how much insulin they require, that they're producing themselves by losing weight, but that largely it's not their fault.
Joey may not have known much about the disease, but he knew he had to regain control of his life.
I became very vigilant right away in terms of how I dealt with it. Like, I went to a nutritionist. Like, by day two, I was at a nutritionist's office, and by day three, it was cleaned out the cupboard, you know, and I became obsessed with it.
You know, when I first had to start exercising and eating better, I thought, I didn't want to join a gym. I was going to walk. You know, I happen to live in a great city that is very compatible with walking. And I just said, okay, I'm going to walk. But when I was my heaviest, you know, I was closer to 400 than I was to 300. I got tired very quickly, and the shins, you know, the shin splints and stuff like that. But I kept, I'm gonna keep doing it. You know, like, my nutritionist at the time was about 10 blocks away. And I was like, okay, I have an appointment with her. I'm gonna walk there, I'm gonna walk back. And then eventually, you realize you start feeling better. And all of a sudden, that 10-minute walk became a 15-minute walk, and 15 became 20.
When we're talking to patients about the importance of exercise, essentially, a lot of people are scared to take diabetes medication, and medication is important to take, but that alone doesn't do it. You can't just expect to take a pill and it'll cure your diabetes or it'll treat your diabetes. You need to do lifestyle changes as well. Now, they recommend about 30 minutes of physical activity, 5 days out of seven, which is not that easy for many people to kind of fit into their lifestyle. However, what people may not realize is it could actually take the place of one diabetes medication in terms of lowering blood glucose levels. So it has an impact. It doesn't mean you may not need to take medication, but if you're able to lose a little bit of weight with exercise, you might decrease the insulin resistance in your body, which would actually allow you to perhaps have smaller doses of medication.
Oh,
Over the next several months of eating better and exercising, Joey eventually reached his goal. He lost 105 pounds, and in the process, learned a lot about himself and how to bring balance to his life.
There is vigilance, and then there's obsession. And I think I was obsessive. I wasn't vigilant. Because I became so obsessed, I became, I'm not going to say a hermit, but a hermit, you know? I stopped everything very suddenly. And again, that was part of the process of getting over the whole thing. It was, I have to go back out there. I don't have to go out and drink. I can drink a Diet Coke. I can have a glass of water. But I can. It doesn't prevent me from going and sitting in a pub and listening to my favorite band.
In Canada, teams of health professionals help patients like Joey on their journey to improving diabetes control. It involves the work of dietitians, nurses, general practitioners, pharmacists, diabetes educators, and endocrinologists.
In order for diabetes to be managed well, it has to be a team approach. We know that by experience. There are lots of good trials and studies and evidence that backs that up. So just give me your hand to start.
Okay.
Now, can you just feel this touch on your hand?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very light touch.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. The nurse plays a critical role in terms of teaching about diabetes, about how to monitor sugars, how to make adjustments if they're on insulin, for example. The dietitian plays a critical role in terms of food adjustments and other advice. Pharmacist is obviously critical. Family doctor is critical. An endocrinologist is a specialist in the endocrine system that controls the hormones in the body. So if there are certain medications that are needed, certain insulins that I have to start, if they have to move on to an insulin pump, various things like that is my role. My role is also to look at the blood pressure and the cholesterol and help manage those pieces.
If this number is elevated for people that have diabetes, suppose like this was 9 or 10? And I get to see people all the time. It's that interaction that really makes the end of the day more rewarding.
I do consult my pharmacist because at the end of the day, they're the person you deal with the most because you're renewing your prescription every month. You are going to get the test strips and, you know, the machine if you want to replace it. And I'm very lucky in the sense that I do have a very good relationship with my pharmacist. He tells me horrible jokes and I go, look, you tell me another bad joke, you're going to throw in a freebie. I was always the type of guy that, don't worry about me, I'll take care of myself. And I think what it has taught me is that I can still be independent, but it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to not know something.
I think from a pharmacy standpoint, to realize that we don't just dispense pills. Within our profession, we do have subspecialties. So if you do have diabetes and you're looking at trying to optimize your care, it does pay to look into your community to see, is there a pharmacy or pharmacist that's highly involved? Because it may become your best ally or best resource.
Great, thanks very much and have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
One of the things that I really like to do when I talk to patients with type 2 diabetes about their medical management in terms of oral medications is go back to what's happening in their body. And so they need to understand that there's all these different mechanisms that are happening at the same time and that each one of the different medications that we may prescribe to them works on those mechanisms. It's the aha moment. I love it. It's when you sort of draw a bad pancreas and a bad stomach and cells and doors and because typically they're getting a prescription, they're filling it, they think that they are taking the same thing. They don't understand why they're on 3 or 4 different medications. So I like to take it back to the basics and say, let's talk about what's happening in your body.
The family physician is uniquely positioned to help manage the person with diabetes because they know the patient. They see them longitudinally over a certain length of time. They appreciate the other illnesses that they have, the other life stressors. They know the family members. And they can help make diabetes and diabetes management part of the care of the whole person, that they're not seeing them in isolation for their blood sugars.
I often like to explain to the patient that they are in the middle of the team. So they truly are the quarterback, and they are the person who needs to take control. And then we are kind of around them and a support network in many ways.
Okay, so tell me what you have for breakfast usually.
We have to work together because for me to try to manage diabetes by myself, it simply wouldn't work nearly as well as if there were an entire team involved.
The best part about this team is that they teach you how to be okay on your own without them.
Though Joey is in the middle of his teen, how well his diabetes is managed on a daily basis is really up to him.
So blood tests is another critical part of how I monitor a patient with diabetes so that I can see how things are going. So for example, for blood sugar, there's a critical blood test called the A1C. And it's important because it gives me a picture of what's been going on in that person's bloodstream for the past 3 months. According to the 2008 Canadian Diabetes Association guidelines, the recommended target for the A1C, which is that 3 month average number, is less than 7%. And the reason we want to get there is because we know getting there will help reduce the risk of complications down the road.
Diabetes is the leading cause of non-trauma amputation and blindness, and is a strong risk factor for cardiovascular and kidney disease.
I remember when my blood test, my glucose level fasting was, it was just over 10. It was like a 10.1 or 10.2. And I didn't know anything about it. Again, I'm still very mindful of what I eat, and I'm very careful. Like, I mean, I record every morning, you know, what my levels are. And I also keep a log of, you know, what I've eaten during the day.
Oh yeah, stuff will happen. It definitely will. Hello, Heidi.
I ask a lot of questions to begin with. I want to know what's going on. So I know there's people that'll listen to their health professional, whether it's a doctor or whatever, and they'll be like, "It's what you do," and they're like, "Okay." But I'm curious. I want to know, why am I doing this? And even when they run tests on me, what are we looking for? I want to know. I need to know.
I want the engaged person, because then I know that they're going to be fine. Because whether I'm in the picture or someone else is in the picture or neither of us are in the picture, that person's going to be just fine because they are taking control of the diabetes. And that's what I would really love to see every person with diabetes doing.
There are days where you think to yourself, oh, this just, really, I got to prick my finger again? This sucks, man. But that's a minor blip on the radar compared to the rest of the time. So I think just living with diabetes is, I've accepted it. You know, it's part of who I am.
In any person with diabetes, I think having a positive outlook is a critical piece of the therapy, because this is something that someone will need to live with essentially for the rest of their life. And acceptance is critical. Like any other major event in anyone's life, you need to, first of all, digest it, accept it, recognize that this is something that you now have, and then now let's deal with it.
Really, you need to accept the fact that diabetes is with you for life, because we haven't found a cure right now, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Now that Joey's diabetes is under control, he is more determined than ever to continue living a life that is healthier, happier, and more rewarding. He shares his special brand of wisdom with anyone who may be facing the same future.
As soon as you got to dry stuff off, it means it's going to rain.
It's much like a pet. When you first get it, it's wild. You know, it's going to chew your furniture. It's going to make a mess of things. And then you tame it, you train it, and you learn to live with one another, even though you're a different breed. And you end up just going at it together. And for a long, long time, that's what it is. It's the hand you're dealt. I mean, I play a lot of poker. You can't bluff this hand. You got to play it exactly as it is. But so much progress has been made, and you can live a great life and a full life. You know, all this stuff about diabetes was a death sentence. You know, it's garbage.
If you are age 40 or older, the Canadian Diabetes Association recommends testing for type 2 diabetes at least every 3 years. If you have risk factors that increase your likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes, you should be tested for diabetes earlier and more often.
Don't worry, we're going to entertain you and make you laugh and forget all about that. That's coming up in the second half right here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. How clever is that?